gentlemen, welcome to The Sigh Effect, a show that deals with hot topics from all directions. And now, introducing the funny, the talented, the charismatic, the captivating, the woman who tells it like it is, your host, I am Sigh. All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. What's going on? Everybody, it's your boy, Sweet Daddy. Those of you that, probably be wondering, that's right, it's your boy, Sweet Daddy. Sweet Daddy to the Williams. Sai's not here with us for this particular episode. She's on location filming, doing one of her many film endeavors, so you got your boy, of course. It's a wonderful day, Saturday, April 2nd. Those of you listening, welcome to the Sigh Effect. We are broadcasting live from the bottom of the map, MIAO, Miami, Florida. And we want to welcome you for joining us on our live broadcast once again. I want to thank you also for spending a few minutes with, of course, me, your boy, Sweet Daddy. To get in the conversation, you can call 323-784-9635, as well as listen. If you are online, you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Sigh Effect. Now, ladies and gentlemen, today's topic, we're talking with the gentleman. He's affiliated with Tulane University. And, of course, for those of you who don't know, y'all been living under a rock or whatever, Tulane University is in New Orleans, Louisiana, okay? It was founded in 1834. Tulane is also one of the most highly regarded and selective independent research universities in the United States. And they're also a member of the prestigious Association of American Universities, which is a select group of 63 universities with preeminent programs of graduate and professional education and scholarly research. So with that being said, I would like to welcome assistant coach for the Tulane Green Wave men's collegiate basketball team, Mr. Ronnie Hamilton. Mr. Hamilton, Will, how you doing, young brother?
How you doing, Will? Glad to be on the show.
I'm good, man. How's everything been going for you?
Oh, it's been going great. Been spending the last few days out here in Houston with the Final Four, so just enjoying basketball and H-Town out here, having a great time, getting ready for the game tonight.
All right. Okay, Coach, what we're going to do first, we're going to let the folks get a little bit of background on you a little bit. So, Coach Hamilton, tell us, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Oxford, North Carolina. You know, it's a small town. You know, it'd be closest to Raleigh, Durham, the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. So that was my home, born and raised in the Tar Heel state of North Carolina.
Okay, yeah, I've been up in North Carolina a little bit. Yeah, North Kakalaki. I got a few friends up there, so that's definitely a nice place, especially when it starts getting hot down here in Miami. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely a nice place to go.
No doubt.
I have a few relatives up there too. Where did you go to school at?
You know, I ended up going to Duke University, which was actually close to my hometown. You know, had a chance to not be far from home, which is a great deal for me to be around family. So I ended up going to Duke. So that's my alma mater. Wish they were playing this weekend, but we came up a little short. But that's where I went to school at during my college years.
Yeah, the famous Duke University, up there, in North Carolina. So I'm pretty sure that's a prestigious, really prestigious school. You know, a lot of famous people came out of there. So that's awesome right there. So were you always into sports? You know, as a kid, as a young man, were you always that something that you always was into?
You know, it was. You know, I grew up playing pretty much everything. You know, I can't remember when I didn't play sports. And it just was a love I had. Just kind of a self-motivated thing where from knee high, you know, whether it was, you know, soccer, football, basketball, track, what have you, just grew up playing it all my life and always wanted to be around it. So I've been blessed to now, you know, still not necessarily playing it at this, but being around it from a coaching standpoint and still being around the game and being around sports and being around athletes and being around venues like this at the Final Four. So, you know, for me, coaching has kind of been a dream come true, and it's been something that you know, I've been able to carry on through what I've loved doing all my life.
That's awesome. Okay, now you say you stay close to home. You play football at Duke. You're from North Carolina. Tell us about, like, the time that you spent there, because a lot of people probably, I'm pretty sure they don't know that you actually played football for Duke University.
Right.
Even though you coach
basketball. That's the first question I get. You know, I introduce myself or people or read a little bit or come to know more about me. And they say, well, how'd you come, you know, become a basketball coach playing football in college? And, you know, when I was growing up, you know, playing, I had two dreams and one of them were two goals. And one was to play, you know, football professionally because it was a sport. I was a two-sport guy, loved both, and ended up just kind of, as I got older, being more successful, more an accomplished football player. And so the dream, the goal was to play that as long as I could. And the other one I always had was to coach basketball. So I always had that seed in me. And when I was finally done playing, had a small cup of tea, you know, after college, you know, I said, man, I just got to pursue it. So, you know, end up coaching some AAU and some high school and been blessed along the way. And then, you know, now I've been fortunate enough to be at Tulane University where I'm at now. But, yeah, I was a two-sport guy. And, you know, the coaching side of it was something I always wanted to do. And like I said, just been blessed along the way.
Okay. Tell the folks out there a little bit about the time that you spent at Duke. I mean, a lot of people, you know, kids don't get to a major collegiate university like that. Tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the things you went through while you were there and the time that you spent at Duke University.
Yeah, you know, it's a neat place. You know, as I was growing up and then through the recruiting process myself of deciding of a school, you know, initially I wouldn't have, if somebody told me you're going to end up at Duke, I would have told them, you know, no. But, you know,
yeah.
going there and experiencing it's made me who I am and in a lot of ways got me to the point I am because, you know, it's a place where you just get to interact and be around a lot of people and have a lot of experiences outside of, you know, what I had growing up. So, you know, it was truly a great place to be, being around, like, you know, friends that I have now that are going on to do tremendous things, you know, outside of their college, you know, years and being around the people, you know, former alums. You know, it's the thing about Duke that makes it pretty special. It's, you know, it's a big family, you know, because people, I think, recognize how nice it is, prestigious it is. And so when you're done, you know, other people have graduated, really take you in. And so it's like a big, you know, it's a big family of networks and people that look out for each other. So the experience there was, you know, was really neat. You know, it's a smaller school, so it has a closer knit, you know, experience as opposed to some schools and colleges where there's so many people. You know, you never really get to know people on campus. So that part of it was good for me and made it, you know, really special going through there for 4 years.
Okay. Now you did some special things as NCAA Division I football player. You know, you were starting as a freshman. You were ranked fourth in the nation for punt returns. You had outstanding defensive back awards. You won the 2001 Iron Award and so on. You know what I'm saying? You definitely got it. Definitely made it happen on the football field while you were there at Duke. So tell me, how did your friends and family react to all your accomplishments, all your boys, your partners? You know, how did they, you know, receive you when you did all that stuff?
Yeah, you know, that was the best part about playing close to home because, you know, friends and family were able to share those experiences with me, you know, a lot easier sometimes. And, you know, if you go away and you're playing farther away from home and it's a little tough to get to and catch games and, you know, that was a factor that led me to end up going to Duke. But, you know, having gone there and had some of the success, you know, we had as a team and individually, and then getting a chance to experience that with friends and family you grew up with and then friends, you became friends with, you know, while I was there, you know, that part of it was neat because, you know, it was moments and different accolades that you know you'll never forget and you'll always remember, and those are things that kind of, you know, give you joy and satisfaction just when you look back on your playing career. So that part was really special, just in terms of being able to do that and do it right there, you know, within a 30-minute radius from being right where I'm from and in my hometown, which was good, you know, which was good for even just not just Duke but my community back home. So everybody from that standpoint was really proud, and it made me feel good to be able to do that, you know, for my hometown.
Okay, that's awesome right there. You was also captain of your team once you hit your senior year. How did you adjust to being a leader on the team? Cause that's a lot of responsibility. So how did you adjust to
that? Yeah. It's something that naturally I think I've always had. And you have to do that in this role that I'm in now. But you know, in football it's a little different too, because you know you got, you know, 80, 90, 100 guys. And, you know, I like to think, like, I'm a pretty mellow guy away from the playing arena or field. But when it comes time to lead and get vocal and get energized, and I can turn to that hat too. And so that's what I did. You know, I just try to, you know, motivate. And again, a lot of the same things that you're doing now from a coaching standpoint. But, those guys, you know, they really respected me. Because I think I led by example, you know, whether it was, you know, how I practice every day or, you know, what I did outside of practice, you know, and our training and all that stuff. And so, you know, all our guys on that team in that year, you know, they just led and followed. And you know, I tried to be a leader by example and then lead vocally. And, you know, we had a good time together, great time together as a team.
Okay. Okay, as a student athlete, you were able to receive your degree, which, of course, unfortunately, a lot of athletes don't get to accomplish. But you had
right.
Two majors. What were they, and what was the interest that you had in both degrees?
You know, I ended up double majoring in history and political science. You know, and I was always a history buff. You know, just, you know, wanted to know kind of, you know, what shaped, you know, history and how we ever get to this point. And so that was always an interest. And then the political science part, you know, yeah, I was kind of interested as I went through high school in you know, politics and law. And so the one main interest I had outside of sports, which, you know, again, I always wanted to be involved with sports, but, you know, possibility of law and law school kind of drove me to major in history and political science. So, you know, I got to do, you know, I took a couple classes, couple of professors I was in. I mean, it was just unbelievable, just the discussions and the knowledge that they bestowed and talked about, and those classes kind of just reinforced what I wanted to do, and then I ended up majoring in history and political science while I was there.
Okay. And that's awesome. That's awesome, brother. You also got the tryout. Now, you talk about going professional, you got the tryout with the New York Football Giants, okay? When you finished school, how did that go? You know, that whole thing, going to camp and trying to get onto a team, a professional team.
After my senior year, you know, to possibly play at the next level, and then after the season, you know, at that point in time, like you don't become a college athlete anymore, you're not a college athlete anymore, you become a professional athlete. And so, you know, just the training part, the process of hiring an agent, and then the whole draft, you know, that occurred over a course of a, you know, 2 month span. And you know, during that draft weekend, as soon as there was a possibility, you know, talking to my agent through those couple of days that we get drafted, ended up signing a free agent deal immediately after the draft was over, and right away, you know, we're in camp. And but it was a fun experience, because, you know, if you play sports, whatever sport is, you know, your goal is going to be play professionally. You want to play at the highest level possible. So to get, you know, as close as I possibly could to reaching it, you know, and getting there, you know, that part of it was a dream come true. Now, you know, obviously I'd love to still be playing. But again, I mean, just to get there and have a shot at it was tremendous.
Okay, that's awesome, because, you know, a lot of folks don't even get that opportunity, much less you actually got the opportunity to do that. So that's, you know, that's a heck of an accomplishment in itself, you know. So
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a small percentage, and when you really kind of look at it from a number standpoint, like to see the percentage of it that really do, it's amazing. You know how many, you know, just how few guys in the grand scheme of people who actually play, you know, make it that far. So yeah, no doubt.
Okay. That's awesome. Also, too, Coach, you were a high school teacher, right?
Yeah.
What subject did you teach?
I taught world geography, world history, American history. So a lot of the things that I kind of used from my major when I was at Duke. And, you know, it was an avenue for me at a time when I was done finally playing. You know, I said, hey, I definitely want to pursue coaching. You know, the high school part was an avenue for me to get into coaching. It was kind of like my first coaching job, first stepping stone.
Right.
And, you know, while I was there the whole time, I'm teaching and hoping I can, you know, just be coaching kind of like the way I'm fortunate enough to do now. But, you know, I was coaching ninth graders, and I was just trying to keep their attention as much as I could. You know, in that year I was teaching, but it was
hard
fun.
to do.
Oh, man. It was, you know, and the funniest thing about it was that, you know, when I was in school, you know, we'd have like seven blocks, so those classes were like 50 minutes. Well, you know, in the high school I was at, you know, they were on a different kind of schedule, so the classes lasted for an hour and a half. And when you talk about struggling, you know, I'm like, man, you know, but it was a neat deal because, you know, you just got to, you know, you come from playing and you know, close to making to the league, and then you're coaching high school kids, and I'm young, and, you know, not too far removed from them, so. That year was a fun year, and it was a neat year because of that. But, yeah, I had a chance to teach 1 year at the high school level before I ended up, you know, coaching at the college level.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. That's great right there. Okay, how did exactly did you get started into basketball? How exactly did that happen?
You know, like I said, after I was done, you know, finally, you know, kind of done with football and said, hey, I said, I can do one or two things. I can keep pursuing, you know, trying to play, you know, professionally from a football standpoint, or I can really chase this dream I have of coaching basketball. It was just kind of a burning desire to try to chase it and coach at the college level. And so I just said, hey, whatever I got to do to break in, get my foot in the door, you know, I was going to do it. And so, you know, that's when I ended up taking a high school job and coaching and teaching that 1 year. And so that was my first opportunity to coach, you know, and so just, you know, just kind of like I play, you know, playing, just jump in the fire, bear down, figure it out, and learn on the fly, and then that was the beginning of it, and then from there went on to take a graduate assistant job at a university called UNC Pembroke, and then again I've been, you know, I just been blessed along the way, being in the right place, right time, and been fortunate enough to get where I am now.
Okay, so that was your first coaching experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The high school was the first, and then I went from there to UNC Pembroke, which is a university kind of right outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina, and was there for 2 years. And then from there, I went to a university called Tarleton State for 3 years in Texas, back to North Carolina for a short stint at Winston-Salem State University, a very short stint. And then from there to Citadel, which is in Charleston, South Carolina, and now, you know, this past season at Tulane.
Okay. You also coach other sports, too. What were the other sports that you coached?
I coached football, and then I also coached track. So, you know, I had a chance to coach both of those sports, you know, early in my coaching career.
Any correlation between all of those and maybe basketball that you might feel that might be?
You know what? There's a lot of correlation. You know, there's a lot of specific things that each sport requires, but, you know, in general, a lot of sports have, you know, a lot of correlation between just the preparation and the fundamentals of each particular sport, whatever that may be. You know, the attention to detail or you know, a lot of just the body part of just, you know, physically learning how to, you know, use hands, feet. Just there's a lot of basic correlation between a lot of sports, that sometimes you don't even realize, you know, outside of coaching them and coaching different ones. But, you know, even coaching like football and track early has kind of helped me, you know, coach basketball throughout my coaching career, being able to kind of use some of those similar things that, you know, you learn coaching in.
Okay. Now, you spent two seasons as a grad assistant at UNC Pembroke, right?
Yep.
Okay, what exactly were your responsibilities as a grad assistant? Because a lot of people don't understand what that means when you're a grad assistant coach versus your,
right,
you know, somebody that's getting paid. What were your responsibilities?
Right. He's right. It's a big difference because you're not getting paid.
Exactly. But, you're getting the check.
Yep. No. The one you get is, you know, it's very, very minimum. So, I mean, the biggest difference is, you know, one, you're taking classes towards a master's degree, and so, you know, it's a way for a lot of young coaches who want to, you know, coach full time or coach at the college level or the higher level to break in. So, you know, the pay is very minimal, but the advantage of it is, you know, the opportunity to learn kind of on the fly. So, again, taking master's courses and then, you know, at that time, UNC Pembroke is a Division II school. So, in that case, like, because there's less coaches and less resources, you get to do everything, you know. So, although I was a grad assistant by title, you know, I was doing everything that let's say, like a coach at the high major level or even like a Tulane or Duke or Carolina would do. You know, I was still recruiting. You still do a lot of the administrative stuff. I was even the strength coach at that time. You know, still doing a lot of the preparation for scouting reports and practice, and so I was really just able to do a lot of things at an early age as a grad assistant.
Sound like everything. It sounded like you was doing everything.
Oh, I was. You know, because the setup there was one head coach, one assistant coach, and then a grad assistant. So, you know, it wasn't like a, you know, like the staff that you'll find. You know, at the Division I level, you got, you know, just tons of personnel and support people, and, you know, you got three assistants. So that part of it was good because you had to do everything, and then, you know, I was able to be, you know, especially from a recruiting standpoint, just be on the road and get the network, and, you know, that was one reason why I think, you know, now I am where I am.
Now, coaching at Tarleton State, you guys had a pretty good squad. Was it 05 to 07? Tell us, what was that like, and how long did you actually coach there?
Yeah, you know, I was there for 3 years, and you know, it was we were really, really successful, and they've been that way for for the past 20 years. The head coach has actually been there for all of those time, for that whole duration of time. He's one of the best head coaches that I've been around, and is a great defensive coach. But it was a learning experience because, you know, the first time really that I was away from the East Coast or away from home. You know, I went to Texas in a really small town, about a population of about 14,000. That's including 6,000 to go to that school. So, you know, had to get used to the cowboy hats and boots. But
yep.
We were really good. We were really good, and I was there for 3 years, and we had a lot of success. You know, we made it to the Elite Eight 1 year, Sweet 16 another year, conference champs. So, you know, we were really, really successful from a basketball standpoint. We were really talented. And, you know, I left there. That was the last year of coaching Division II, and the year that we ended up, our best team that we had was you know, we actually went to the Sweet 16. We didn't go as far as the team before that, and that team was good enough to win it all. We just came up a little short.
Wow. Okay, then on from there you went to the Citadel, and then you went to work with Coach Conroy. And then they actually did a little write-up on you when you joined the team. This article from SoCon Sports, Coach Conroy quoted, you know, we're very excited to have Ronnie join our staff. He's a bright young coach who's quickly establishing himself as a rising star in the coaching profession. So working with Coach Conroy, give us a little bit of, you know, synopsis on what did you learn the most by working with him?
You know, Coach Conroy, and the quote that he said about me, you know, I could turn him back and say it about him. I mean, he's one of the rising stars himself as a head coach in all Division I. But, you know, the thing I think that makes him so special as a head coach to play for and work for and why he's been so successful is, you know, his attention to detail. I mean, he is as detailed as any person I've been around, you know, from a sport standpoint or just business standpoint, just in general. I mean, you know, our preparation of our practices, you know, how we teach things, how we drill things, and how we prepare to play against other teams. That's probably been the biggest thing that I've taken from being with them for the last 3 years is, you know, is attention to detail. There's not a detail that he'll let slip by, you know, in our entire program. So, you know, and because of that, our guys always get better, and then therefore our teams get better, and you know, we've been pretty successful as a staff and program.
Okay. Now, of course, this is your first year at Tulane. Now, I want to know, how'd you feel when you got the position, and what were some of your expectations for this past season, 2010-2011 season?
Yeah, you know, we got a job almost this time last year, so you know, it was really exciting because, you know, again, it was you know the league we're in, Conference USA is a tremendous league, getting a chance to move to New Orleans, and it was a challenge. But an exciting challenge, you know, when Coach took the job and, you know, brought our staff with them. So we were super, super excited. And then, you know, this year, you know, really excited because Tulane's had a lot of history in the past of being successful, not so much recently. And, you know, we were all excited, hey, how can we get Tulane back, you know, back to the NCAA tournament, back, you know, to the Sweet 16, which they've made. And then, you know, obviously eventually, you know, Final Four ourselves. But, you know, really, really excited about where we are now and where we're going. You know, I think we got a chance to be really good for years to come.
Okay. Now, this the first year of the team. Okay, y'all went 13-17. Tell us how tough was this season, and also when you guys got to the Conference USA tournament, you guys failed to Southern Miss. So I also want to know, you know, how do you expect the team to learn from that loss?
Yeah, you know, we had a kind of up and down season. Got off to a great start, and you know, we fought some injuries throughout the season. You know, but you know, even through the end, our guys just played every game as hard as they could, and we had a lot of close losses. So, you know, I think the one thing that and even into this conference tournament with Southern Miss and that game, you know, I think like our team learned how to play consistently. You know, every game for 40 minutes. And you know, going forward, you know, our best players are coming back. So next year, and we, you know, we like the guys we got coming in, and so next year, looking forward, I think that you know they've learned, you know, now what it takes to win. You know, from how to play in games to how to practice, you know, every day practice wise, to you know, even from a preparation, you know, standpoint. So. You know, it was not necessarily the wins as much as we wanted to in our first year, but we feel like we got a lot accomplished to be successful, you know, next season and the seasons after.
Okay, tell the folks about that. Who are some of the best players on the team that you got?
Yeah, you know, our best player is Kendall Timmons, kid by the name of Kendall Timmons. He's about 6'5". He's from Fort Worth, Texas, and he probably improved the most from the beginning of the season. And you know, and really the first day we got there to the end of the season. I mean, just from every aspect. And, you know, he's going to be the leader of our team for the next 2 years. We're fortunate we got him for 2 more years because he's just a sophomore, so a junior. But he'll end up being second-team all-league, averaging about 17 points, somewhere close to 8 rebounds. And then our other best player, or other guy who had a really successful year this year, is another sophomore by the name of Jordan Callahan, 6-foot guard out of Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, that was the thing that was most encouraging about this season is our two best brother sophomores, and, you know, we got a lot of young talent coming in. So, you know, we'll have those guys for the next 2 or 3 years, and we feel like with them, we got a chance to be really, really good.
Okay. Now, Kendall was named second team All-Conference USA. How proud are you when he, you know, he made that accomplishment, when he was able to do that?
What did you say, Will?
I said Kendall Timmons, he made second team All-Team Conference USA. You know, how proud are you when he was able to make that accomplishment? How proud of you when him were you?
Oh yeah, very proud. I mean, again, like he improved the most, you know, because you know, when we got there, you know, we look back almost like as a reference point, but also to see, you know, where we, you know, where we are, where we were in terms of our team and talent. So we watched all the film from last year, the season they had, and so, you know, watching them from last year and then coaching them for a year and seeing how much he improved, you know, it was only fitting, you know, that he was rewarded with some of the accolades that he got, you know, at the end of the season, and it was well deserved. I mean, he had a tremendous year for us, so, you know, we were really proud of him, and I think the best is yet to come with Kendall. I mean, he's gonna have an unbelievable career these next 2 years for us.
Okay. The next question is actually twofold. Tell us your thoughts on, you know, the one and done athlete. How do you feel about that? You know, a lot of guys coming in for 1 year, then jumping straight to the pros, and tell us about your thoughts also on the potential NBA lockout. I say potential, but it hasn't happened.
Yeah, you know, the first part of your question, I'm a little bit conflicted or at a crossroads myself on it, because from a fan standpoint or even a coaching standpoint, you know, I love having those guys, you know, in college for you, so you get to see them play as college athletes, you know, like a Carmelo Anthony, the year he had, just as one example, you know, if at that time, you know, he didn't go and play for Syracuse, and, you know, they probably won that championship, you don't see him in that year, you don't see him in that setting. And then even this year with guys like Kentucky, Brandon Knight and Terrence Jones and, you know, some of the freshmen that played this season and in the last couple of years, you know, I just like to see those guys play. But also, you know, from just a, you know, outsider looking in, you know, there's also a point those guys are good enough, you know, you feel like they should have the chance to go play right away in the NBA, and there shouldn't be anything that restricts them to do it. So, you know, I kind of toss and turn on that one and go back and forth. But I think at the end of the day, you know, that year of the college, because I know what it, you know, what it meant to me and how much I matured and grew, and I see it with guys I coach every year, is more valuable than just, you know, letting them have the opportunity to go play right away to the pros. So I like the rule as it is. You know, probably can tweak it and do some different things, you know, and maybe make it a little better, whether it be, you know, another year or other things that they talked about doing. But I think at the end of the day, it's a good thing for both, you know, college basketball and the players themselves. And then the lockout, you know, hopefully we don't get to that point, you know, and get to the point where we are with football, because I think, too, like basketball is, you know, is as popular as it has been. And have a lockout would just only hurt that, you know. And I think it'd be bad for both the professional level, for the fans, for the players, and then everybody involved. So hopefully they can come to some resolution before we get to where we are with football.
Okay. All right, Coach. We're going to get you out of here on this, but you got to give me your picks, man. Final Four, you got Butler versus VCU. Give me your picks. And Kentucky versus UConn. Who's going to come out of that?
You know, I'm going with BC on the first. We played those guys earlier in the year, and
right,
we should have beat them. We lost by two at third place, had a chance to win it. So I like to see those guys do well. I think they will. I mean, I think they're really athletic. They got a lot of depth. If they can shoot it the way they've shot it throughout the tournament, I think they'll win and be playing on Monday night for the national championship. And in the other game, the best player still playing and the best player throughout the season. I saw Jimmy Fredette got the player of the year, but I would have to argue with that. But Kemba Walker, I don't think you can go against Kemba right now, the way he's played
I watched him play
the tournament.
True, yeah.
Oh, man, he's been tremendous. So, you know, I'm going to go with UConn and VCU, which would be a great game on Monday night.
Okay. Who's going to win the whole thing out of those two?
Connecticut, you know. I think Kemba just rides off and leads his team and makes all the big plays they need down the stretch. So I got Connecticut winning it all because of Kemba Walker.
Okay. All right, Coach. Well, Coach, my man, we sure appreciate you taking time out. I know you're busy. You're out there in Houston. You know, you know, taking care of things out there. And much success to you, young brother. And, you know, keep doing a good job. You know, we thank you here at the Side Effect for taking time out to, you know, give us a little bit of window into who you are and, you know, what it is exactly that you do and you've been through. We sure appreciate it. You know, Side Effect, thank you for letting us do that. And we greatly appreciate you spending time with us. And good luck to you. Of course, Sai thanks you. She couldn't be here, but she does thank you. And also good luck to you and the Green Wave on next season. I know y'all gonna make big things happen. You know, I know the season's gonna be a complete success for you. So I definitely want to let you know that. And that's coming from Sweet Daddy here and the side effect.
Man, Will, I appreciate you guys letting me be on the show and enjoyed it.
All right, Coach. Coach, you take care and don't be a stranger.
Oh, we definitely won't.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you for joining in. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, check us out next time for more fun and more laughs on The Side.